everybody. If you're just tuning online, we're Faith City Church, Thunder Bay. I'm Pastor Roma Fisher and lead pastor of this church. And so I want to thank you. If you don't have a home church, this is a good place to pluck yourself down. If you're in Thunder Bay, let this be your home away from home. And when we open up, we want to like to see you. And we're going to fill this place up. There's not going to be a room in this place, another seat in this house. You might have to sneak in early to get a place. So things are going to happen. They're going to happen fast. Things are going to heat up. And things are going to dry up in some certain areas. And the world is going to get darker. We're going to get brighter. That's what Isaiah says. And so we're the light of the world. And, you know, if you want to get the light, you got to go where the light is. And thank God, you know, Jesus is a great light. Praise God. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person. We pray for ourselves too. We worship you because you're the God of all creation. You're the almighty God, the all-sufficient one. You are the great Jehovah God, the creator of everything, the universe. You're not limited by time and space like we are. And we thank you, Father. We're your very own children. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of being in the family of God. We thank you, Lord God, that we come together, that we can come together in unison to pray as a body of believers. We lift up our holy hands without wrath and doubting. And we thank you. We come in faith, knowing that you are God Almighty. We thank you for meeting every one of our needs. We thank you that the devil is defeated. We thank you that Jesus rose from the dead and gave us the keys of victory. And we thank you that we can exercise our rights and begin to use the benefits of what he has given us. We thank you, Lord God. We bind the enemy from trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He will have no part in this session this morning. And we thank you for the anointing of God. We call on the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let my preaching and teaching not be enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that we will not put our faith in man, but in the power of God. We give you praise. And we can all say, like Paul said and to the Romans, that I'll fully preach the gospel with signs and wonders. And as they prayed for in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We give you praise. And we thank you that we'll preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost and fire in Jesus' name for revelation. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you for staying with us for prayer. When I get into the Spirit, I begin to pray a long, long time. You have to watch that sometime because I get into the Spirit. Now, let's go and we're going to read some scriptures. And let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9. And we'll read the other scriptures. And let's go. It says here, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, they which are of faith. If you are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In other words, if you have faith and trust and believe in Jesus, you are a children. You are the same or belong to the family of Abraham, the same family of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, which is the people of faith. Verse eight there. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. In other words, the Bible says here, this is a revelation that was given to Paul. The Bible says that Jesus gave Paul himself said it. He says, Jesus gave me, spoke to me, revealed to me the things, this gospel. And this gospel is good news. And it's the blessing. Hallelujah. Everybody say the blessing. Come on, let me hear you here. Say the blessing. So we are blessed, the Bible says, which faithful Abraham. You know, God blessed Abraham. He says, in you shall all the families of the earth will be blessed, in Genesis chapter 3. So we're blessed. Glory to God. And I was reading over there in Numbers chapter 21, 22, 23, 24, that there was a man named Nahum. He was called on to Naaman, I guess it's called. His name is. he was called to curse the people of God, but he couldn't, and he couldn't do it because God wouldn't allow it. See, God wouldn't allow you to be cursed. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the blessing and the curse. We're not the cursed ones. We're the blessed ones. So verse 8 again. Let's read. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. It's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 there. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed. Hallelujah. We're blessed. Amen. We're blessed. Glory to God. It says here, if we are be of faith, you know, we're faith people, and we're blessed. The Bible says, you know, blessed is a man. And in chapter 1 of Psalms, blessed is the man who walks not in the ways of the sinners, but walks in the ways of the Lord. And this man will be blessed in all he does, everything he does. So thank God for that. So, you know, we need to understand that we're blessed. So we have to stand up and be counted as people of faith who are speaking for their rights. So as I said, in many situations in life, you'll have to speak up for your rights. And if you don't speak up for them, you will forfeit them. You will allow them to fall by the wayside. Like in many situations, people will take advantage of you if you become passive. If you don't speak up, sometimes people, they don't speak up. They're afraid. They don't think they're good enough. They don't think they're worthy. They don't think they're worth anything, that nobody likes them and whatever. And they become passive. And we're not talking about being mean when you're talking about, you know, some people, because they have to speak up their rights, so they become aggressive and they become, mean and so on. No, you don't have to be mean. Just speak up for your rights. You know, you don't have to insult people. You just speak up and say, no, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do here. I have every right. And so, you know, when we were a few Sundays ago, before they went into the, I believe it's the gray, we were in the red. We were allowed, I think, so much people, 30% in the church. Just the weekend before was we were on I guess they were closed the Monday, and we opened the Sunday just before the lockdown. And so we had church. And so we had some bad publicity in our neighborhood. And we had every right to be open because we could have 30%. And so we were able to stay open. And we had some negativity, some words speaking over us that's in a bad way. But we were well in our rights, and we called the health unit, and we've been working with them diligently, I mean regularly. And we follow up, and we very diligent to follow within what they allow us and what our rights were. And so people didn't think that we should be open. But we were in our rights. See, if you don't speak for your rights, you're going to forfeit your ability to gain what you should have, what you should be having. And so the same could be said regarding spiritual things or spiritual matters. If we don't speak up for our rights, things can be lost in a very quick time. So I think my chair is going down here. So I don't know what's happening. I think they're putting me down. I'm going down again and again here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift me up higher. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going right down. I don't know what's going on here. let's go ahead. I'm going to just go down. I'm going to sit on the floor if I have to. I think my team is setting me up. I told somebody the other day they were doing. I think it was Frank, one of our former aldermen. He's doing Tai Chi at the front, at the waterfront, and he said he'd teach karate. So I told him I want to take the lessons, so I can stand up to some of my staff here. So anyway, I'm going down. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and preach every second. Let's see what happens next. I think the Lord's coming. Stand up. Everybody say stand up. You know, you have to stand up for your rights. I see we're going to have to do a lot of editing in this program. Thank God. Hallelujah. So don't become passive and allow the devil to walk over you. Don't become passive and just allow whatever happens. You know, that people say things, oh, whatever happens, God knows my needs. Well, he knows your needs. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says that he knows your needs, but you still have to speak up. You still have to say, you have to tell him what you want. And so I like that song, you know. Some of my native brothers, they sing this song, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. That's a good song if you play it properly. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Keep singing the song and keep saying it. The same is true regarding, as mentioned, the spiritual things. So here's what Jesus said in Matthew 18:18 regarding the prayer of faith, or at least the prayer of agreement. You know, we need to be in agreement together if we want things done. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, he says, verily I say unto you that whatsoever you shall bind. Notice it says, whatsoever you shall bind, not what God binds, whatever you shall bind, where? On earth. That's talking about us earthlings here. Shall be bound in heaven. Praise God. You know, in the heaven, and in the heavens above us, there are spiritual forces that try to dominate from there to here. He wants to use, you know, people here. This is talking about the heaven, not where God lives, but there's a heaven between us and heaven. So the Bible talks about three heavens. You know, Paul talks about three heavens. And so there's a heaven, above, or just above us, and heavens where God is, where actually the Lord is. So he says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. In other words, he's talking here about something very important. That is, whatever you permit to happen. You know, the other verses of Scripture, if you read different ones, you might not understand the King James right away here, unless the Holy Spirit gives you, you know, revelation somehow. Or you're going to read it in plain English. So some scripture, now let me just say, don't throw away everything. I mean, you know, other Bible translations are there for you to understand the key thing that they're saying in there. And sometimes they leave out different words. And so that's why you need to be someone who's avid, a good studier of the Bible. And so thank God you can say things in various ways to help someone understand things. You know, I might say something, and another pastor in this church will say something, and somebody might, you might understand it. So the way I say something might be a different way than somebody else says it. I noticed that myself at different times, you know. Somebody might say in a different angle. I listened to Brother Hagin over the years, and come along his proteges, and they say something, and hey, I understand it. It makes a whole lot of difference if we just learn from each other. So Jesus is saying, whatever you allow happen in your life, if you look at that scripture and amplify that version, he'll tell you, whatever you allow to happen in your life, God has to allow. I could tell some stories here about different ones, you know, that God had revealed different things to certain people. And, you know, there's a story over the many years ago I heard, you know, Brother Hagin talked about his encounter, his vision with Jesus. And when he had that encounter or vision with Jesus, he's talking to Jesus, and then there pops up between him and Jesus was this demon. And he was making all kinds of noises, yelling up and down, jumping up and down, blowing puffs of smoke. He couldn't hear Jesus, nor could he see Jesus to read his lips. He's yakety, yak, yak, yak. And then he said, man, doesn't Jesus, know that I need to hear what he's got to say? Doesn't he know that I'm trying to listen and hear him? And how come he doesn't do anything? And so in that vision, he said during that time, he got mad at the devil, said, "In the name of Jesus, stop it." And that demon fell on the floor and whimpered away, cried and ran. And Jesus told him, if you didn't do anything about that demon, I couldn't. And he shook his head and said, "Well, I think I'm misunderstanding you. He says, if I didn't do anything, you wouldn't. You know," he said, "I couldn't." And so they went on just for three times. And Jesus said, "No, if you didn't do anything, I wouldn't." See, God needs us in this world to have access to this world, because there's a certain things happening here that's going on. People don't understand the Bible. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand the times or the seasons and what's happening. Right now, in this season, the devil has access, and he can run around this world and do things if people allow him, both saved and unsaved. And he can control people if he's allowed to. And so we need to arm ourselves with the Word of God. So we need to hear what God has to say and follow what he says. Now let's go over here to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. It says here, I'm going to read the New Living to give us a better picture. You know, you can forbid or allow what you forbid or allow what happens in your life by the way you talk, what you say. Jesus is the one who said, whatever you say will happen in your life. And right now, in this very world, we are possessing what we have been saying all our lives, or what we've been sowing in words. And so when you say things long enough, you start to believe it. And they come to pass sooner or later. So Proverbs 12:11 says, the wicked are trapped by their own words. But again, you say, but it says, but the godly escape such trouble. How did they escape such trouble? But with their words. See, we have to speak up and begin to say things just like what the Bible says, speak in line with the word. So as citizens of our nation, we all possess certain rights, but if we're ever going to benefit from them, we're going to have to speak up. Whether we use them or not is up to us. We will allow happen in our lives. If whatever we allow happen in our lives, God has to allow. He has given us the right to act on his will or his word every single day of our lives. God will not make his will happen in our lives just because his word says so. He's not going to force us. He's not going to make you do something. You know, God. So let's say this right now. It's God's will that we be free from whatever. And some of you, maybe you're having trouble with smoking, or are you smoking because it's very prevalent? It's not going to take you to hell, but it's going to destroy your body. I used to smoke. I was a professional smoker, and I loved it. My body loved it. In fact, I tell you this: I could walk through a crowd and they're smoking, or if one guy smokes, and my body still wants to gravitate to that. You see, you'll still go back to the old way of life because your body is not redeemed. And don't tell me it's not, because it is. It isn't. I mean, so whatever you were before you're born, your body is going to still gravitate, and whatever you used to do before, it'll gravitate towards that if you allow it. So we have to act on the word of God. We have to say what God says about us. So we have been given the right to act on the will of God or his word, and to make things happen, we have to speak like we are children of God and people of faith. And so let's go ahead and stand up for our rights. So we have rights as children of God and as children of Abraham or seed of Abraham. It says here, even as God, let's go read verse 6 again, even as Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, verse 7, they which are of faith. In other words, you have to know this. If you are of faith, You are a faith person. The same, the identically the same thing are the children of Abraham. And verse 8 says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel to Abraham. In other words, God preached the gospel to him. He spoke to Abraham and told him, this is how it is. And so here's what God said. In thee, in other words, in Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. So we better pay close attention to this and understand that we're blessed people. And we can't allow the curse to, rear its ugly head in our lives. And there's been curse transferred from generation to generation, the Old Testament said. Whatever happened to your father's life and, you know, your grandfather, it could be passed on to generation. But when you come to Jesus, you can break that curse out of it right now. You don't have to have any kind of potion or do any kind of ceremony or, fast or pray, fast and pray for long hours. No, Jesus already done this thing. And we have to make a confession in line with the Word of God and start acting like we're not cursed people. And so we have to be careful, even as citizens of heaven, you can forfeit your right and live under curse. And so in Acts chapter 14, the Bible says verses 7 to 9, and I'll just pick it up here. I didn't put it in my, I want to get my Bible verse here. Let's go to Acts chapter 14, and let's read verse 7 to 9, I believe it is here. Acts chapter 14. So it says here that God preached the gospel to Abraham. He preached the good news to him. What did he preach? He said, in you all nations will be blessed. So he says in here, he preached the gospel to him in verse 8. That God preached the gospel to Abraham, verse 8. Verse 9, it says, they which are of faith are blessed with Abraham. So, what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. The gospel is about being blessed. The gospel is about being blessed. I said the gospel is about being blessed with faithful Abraham. Spirit, soul, and body, we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. And so let's go over here in the 14th chapter, the book of Acts. It says in verse 7, and there they preach the gospel. What's the gospel? It's good news. If you're sick, healing is good news. If you're bound up, deliverance is good news. If you're poor, prosperity and having your needs met is good news. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and there they preach the gospel, verse 7. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Here's Paul come by. He's going to preach the gospel, the good news. He's got to be preaching about healing because this man suddenly had faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Verse 9, the same heard Paul speak. In other words, Paul preached. He began to say certain things. He began to say that people can be released. He began to say you can be healed. How are you going to get healed if nobody doesn't say and speak up for you? Or speak up for other people? Or speak up God's word? Who the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him. In other words, a man beholding him. And he perceived him and he looked at him. It says here, and perceiving he had faith to be healed. Paul looked at this man, and he sensed in his spirit this man had faith to be healed, but he's still sitting there. He's still sick. The Bible says, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. So that's the good news. The good news or the gospel in this verse of Scripture talks about healing. This is an example about the blessing is about being healed. So it's contained in the scripture. You can see that all over in the chapter of Deuteronomy 28, and we can read that again later. But the writer said that these people preached the gospel, and people got healed. So one aspect of the gospel is healing. Healing is one aspect. The Bible said Abraham heard the gospel from God himself that he was going to be a blessing. You know, we can be a blessing to other people. It said that the chapters later revealed that Abraham got abundantly rich. He got abundantly blessed. He was, you know, Jesus said, "I come to give life, come to give more abundantly." John 10:10. Having all your needs met is not just a side issue with God, but it's directly part of the gospel. God will supply all our needs. You know, Psalm 23 says that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. I shall not need of anything. So when Jesus went to the cross, he went there, spirit, soul, and body. He had his clothes taken away. The Bible says they took his clothes away, and they whipped him. The Bible says they slapped him around, they pierced him, and they spat on him. They insulted, hurled insults at him while he was being beaten, and they hurled insults on him while he was on the cross. And he took all this. He didn't open his mouth, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah. He didn't open his mouth. So we're saved, the Bible says. We're saved. The Greek word saved is the Greek word sozo. It means healed. One aspect is being healed or delivered and set free and preserved and protected. That's what that word talks about. So the message of faith is called the gospel. It's the blessing of God. And so we're blessed people. We're not cursed people. So for as many, over here, Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, says, for as many as the works of the law are under the curse, we're not people trying to keep the law. If you try to keep the law, you're gonna walk in the curse or under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continued not in all things which are written in the book of the law. Nobody can do them perfectly. Jesus did. And he took the curse. The curse comes when people are rebellious and disobedient to God. People of faith are not cursed. They're blessed with faithful Abraham. We're walking in faith. And so in Deuteronomy, it gives a catalog of all the blessings and cursings. And some people don't believe that, but it's in there. So we can't give in to Satan. We can't give in to what the devil wants to do to us. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy, the Bible says in John 10:10. He wants to come and kill, steal, destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, to have it more abundantly. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. That means you don't have to allow him to have access in your life. Or it could also mean that he has access to your life if you let him. So we have the responsibility or the right to not allow him any access into our lives. Not just our lives, but the life of our house, our homes, our family. You can stand up and pray for your children and pray for your family and keep your home safe. So it's not up to God. You can't say it's up to God. Whatever happens to my family, happens to my family. No, the devil will take advantage of someone like that. And he'll take advantage of you. If you say, if God wants me to die now, I'll die. Well, go ahead and open the door to the devil and let him destroy you before the time. You don't have to die before the time, the Bible says. You don't have to. You can live a long life, healthy life. And so we're going to stay here as long as we can until we're satisfied, the scripture says. So don't give him a place. Ephesians 4:27 means it's up to you and me to allow him or disqualify him or not allow him to come in your life. James 4:7 says almost the same thing here. Submitting to God in his plan or yielding to his word in whatever he says. And so we need to submit to God. When we're submitted to God, then we can resist the devil. It says here, James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The Bible says flee, run from you as in terror. See, the devil, when you use God's word, will run from you as in terror because it's a sword of the Spirit, the Bible says. The word is a sword of the Spirit. You can drive him away with the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen? So he'll try to come and assault you if you allow him. So it's up to you to stop him. It's not up to God, you know, because we're blessed and whatever we say happened, it will happen in our lives, Jesus said. So first we'd be submitted to God, His Word, His Holy Spirit, and stay under that authority, then we can resist Him. You'll have a right to take your authority. If you don't take your authority, you can be in very, very bad shape. Christians are told not to ask God to do anything for them in the Bible. If you read the New Testament, you'll notice that Paul, Peter, or any apostle or any writer tells any Christian to ask God to do something about the devil. Never. It's not in there. No, we have been given authority. We have to take authority. We have to speak against those circumstances and situations that the devil's causing to come against you. He's trying to block you from receiving your money. He's trying to block you from receiving your healing. He's trying to block you from receiving your increase. He's trying to block you from receiving your financial blessings in your home. He's trying to block you and your family from progressing to get on to better things. But you have to stand up for your rights and say, no, you're not. I'm going to be here. You're going to try to do this. You're going to have to come by me because I know my rights and you ain't going to get through here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Take your authority. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Flex those spiritual muscles of yours. And they'll do a little dance this morning. Praise God. Now, so Christians aren't told to ask God to do anything about the devil in the scripture in the New Testament. So we, according to those two scriptures we saw, and there are other scriptures, we are to resist the devil. And Peter says the same thing, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that we resist him with our faith. So some people, but not you, are yielding to the devil. And they're resisting God. So we can't do that. So Matthew 16, let's go over here. Matthew 16, verse 19. Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know, keys portray, authority. If you got the key, you have authority. Praise God. I got the key to my car. I have authority. You know, I don't have a key to Pastor Ken's bike. He's got a nice, shiny blue bike out there. And one day I might take that bike. No, it's his bike. If I took that bike, I could be charged under the Criminal Code of Canada. So you can't go and steal. So you have your own rights. So he says, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. He's giving us the keys of the kingdom. You and I have the keys of the kingdom. He said, I have them, but I'm giving it to you. Now you have the key to your own victory right now. Hallelujah. And so he says in here, and whatever you bind, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So you better start loosing and binding this morning. Glory to God. Start loosing the blessings. The keys represent authority, as I mentioned. They denote two things, authority and knowledge. So we have three witnesses, as we mentioned. Paul said it, James said it, and we see Matthew. Jesus said it in Matthew. We have three witnesses that says that we have authority. We have power. We have authority to not allow the devil to do anything in our life, try to curse us. So if the curse shows up, if it shows up any time in our lives, we can resist it because we're blessed people according to the Bible. We're blessed people. You don't have to allow curses to come in your life. So, you know, people talk about this, and over the years, you know, we try to examine things, you know, and because you're not knowledgeable, you can get into some kind of tangent and all of a sudden you're down the road with no paddle or down the creek with no paddle. And you know, you try to find out, you know, what kind of devils are in your life and, you know, what kind of devils assaulting your forefathers or ancestors. And you try to look into that and, you know, look into your genealogy and look into whatever you can find. If you only you can find a key while you're poor. If only you can find a key while you've been sick. Well, you know, Jesus took authority over all those devils. And the curse stops with you. And anything that's passed on, any sickness that's been passed on from generation to generation, you can stop it yourself. Now, your kids are going to have to do that themselves. And they might have trouble for some time tripping around and because they have their own faith. But you can stand with them until they find out for themselves in Jesus' name. Amen? So sometimes, you know, kids will get out of the way and do things. But, you know, how did you do when you were 14? How were you when you're 17 and 20 and 25? What would you do? What would you do? Okay. All right. So when it comes to stealing and killing and destroying your family, you have the key to help your family out from getting out of the curse and into the blessing. So it's our responsibility to fight the good fight of faith and take possession of what belongs to us. It's not leaving it all up to God. And so most of the world says it's up to God. It's all up to God. He's controlling everything. Well, the devil's not controlling everything. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, this COVID, it's not of God. And he's not controlling it happening. So you're going to have to take authority, take possession of the ability to be protected, protect your home, protect your family, and anoint yourself and plead the blood of Jesus wherever you go. And no sickness will come near you. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray that and confess that. Hallelujah. Let's say no sickness will come in my home. Hallelujah. Say, my house is blessed. You have to say that and know it for sure that your house is blessed. And read those scriptures. Get it into your spirit and speak it out. Now, the enemy is going about. He's bringing about the curse. He's trying to destroy families and relationships and trouble and churches and nations and cities. He's trying to go around stealing, killing, and destroying. That's why we have to pray and intercede for our cities and people in our nation. So when we start acting on our authority, things will begin to change and start happening. The stealing and the killing will begin to stop and the destroying begin to stop. So we're not cursed. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:3, he says, as a bird by wandering and as a swallow by flying, the curse causeless shall not come. So there's no curse coming. The curse that hasn't been sent out to you, or any curse that even was sent out to you, can't be. It has to be canceled because Jesus blessed us. Nobody can curse you. I remember, as I told you years ago, I worked on, you know, one of the communities way in the Kenora area, and there's no insinuation about Kenora area, but I went to working there as a young man, just fresh graduated out of college. I'm going to change the world, praise God. Being a young social worker in my early 20s, went to work for Kenora Patricia Family Services, and I worked in one of those communities, and I had to remove children. I mean, the law says I had to remove children, and I'm sorry about it, but it happened. But kids were being abused, sexually molested, and neglected, and who's going to take care of those kids? And so I was sent in there and had to remove some kids, and sometimes I stopped by the chief, and people said, you can't take them, and sometimes they had to allow me, and they tried to stop me, but I said, hey, if I don't take the kids, these kids die, I go to jail. Either you go to jail or I go to jail. I'm not going to jail. So they told me that in our training, they said, if you let kids stay in a home and they're molested sexually, and they've been molested and they've been abused, if I allow that to happen, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm not doing my job. And so, hey, these kids had to be removed. And so I went there, and one man who was the father of these children who actually didn't take care of these kids, and he was, fathering these children, and he says, I'm going to curse you. And that's where the story started. That's why I talked about that story. And he said, I'm going to curse you. I said, you go right ahead. And I said, oops, what did I say? I didn't know. I heard that. I wasn't, I didn't know all this stuff, but I knew enough by the Spirit of God that I'm not cursed. You can't curse me. And so I was talking to somebody, and the Pentecostal guy, he said, oh, Romo, you should never say that. The devil will curse you. I said, no, he's not going to curse me. I'm blessed. And so I at least I knew that much. So over here in Psalm 125, it says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abided forever. You know, if we trust in the Lord, we're not going to be shaken. We're going to be strong as ever. We cannot be moved. With the blessing of God, nothing can move us. Nothing can shake us. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about the people from henceforth forever now. The Bible says that God is surrounding us. He's blessed us. He's keeping us. That's what he says in the scripture, that he is surrounding us like the mountain. The rod of the wicked shall not be rest, verse 3 says, upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, to them that are upright in their hearts. For as such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon the house of Israel. So the righteous don't get what the wicked get. Verse 3 and 4. So that's a good motivation. You know, we're not going to be blessed, destroyed because just what God says, you know, what happens to them. We're not cursed because Jesus took the curse for us. The enemy will try to give you the curse, and if you allow him to, you'll be cursed. You'll accept it. Here's something what people say. Oh, you know, the troubles that came to me is a blessing in disguise. There's no such thing. The curse is not a blessing in disguise. He said, yeah, but you know, when I got this trouble, I came to Jesus. Well, no, God used that bad situation to bless you to get out of there, but he didn't send that thing. He actually got you out of that bad situation. People say, oh, I got sick, but my uncle, he got healed because I was sick. No, there's no such thing. So don't allow the devil to deceive you to thinking that anything that's coming against you, any bad situation is a blessing in disguise. There's no such thing. So God doesn't send any kind of disguises coming your way as a curse so that it'll be turned into a blessing. Millions of Christians are accepting curse and saying it's a blessing in disguise. He's trying to steal and kill and destroy. Even if you're a redeemed person, he'll try to do it. He'll try to pull off something. So curse, you know, it's just the curse is all, it's mental anguish, emotional upheaval, it's poverty, lack, it's pain and sickness, disease, it's sickness. We don't want to accept that. We're not accepting that. So the devil is a deceiver. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, that the serpent was the most subtle creature that ever existed that God created. You know, the devil there is in there, in this verse of scripture, is, you know, the Bible says that the devil there is, you know, termed as, you know, the Satan is the serpent there, but he's, you know, he's likened unto this animal, but he'll come in as a disguise. He deceived, the Bible says. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat any of the trees of the garden? You know, so he's a very tricky person. He'll turn words around and make you think that's what's not true. He'll tell you different things. I remember the devil spoke to me. I know the devil spoke to me. Some guy said, well, I know it's the devil. Well, you know who the devil's, you got to know who the devil is when you walk in this world. And you understand, if you know, he always brings, he brings all kinds of doubt, unbelief in your life, and fear and everything. And so, he would is that what God said? Did God really say you're healed? Did God say you're filled? Are you actually filled with the Holy Spirit? Or did you, you know? And I was so gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with tongues, and went out in the Spirit. And he began to ask me, that didn't happen to you. Oh my Lord, he's a great liar, and he'll deceive you. He'll make you think you're dying. It's amazing. I've had people tell me over the years that they're dying, and eventually died. I had one person over the years, a number of years ago, said, you know, the devil has attacked them, and so on for many, many years. I said, don't say that, and spend time with them. But they eventually died, and then this kind of went out. They lost their mind and died. And I've had other people call me, sometimes from the hospital, and said, they're dying. I said, no, you're not. We're going to do something about this right now. Take authority. And the devil had to leave. We have to give people the truth. The truth sets people free. The serpent represents the devil, and he was the most crafty animal. God didn't originally make Satan this way, He created him a beautiful person, the Bible says in Ezekiel. He was the most beautiful being ever, but he wasn't created the devil. And he was a beautiful person before, a creature, an angel. And he was not, he was Lucifer, but he wasn't the devil before. And he became the devil. And if you're not careful, you might look like the devil sometime. Be careful. Watch and hang around with people. So he decided to be evil and do the opposite of what God wanted. Here's what Paul said in the New Testament about Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. People of God, according to Scripture, can be deceived by Satan. If you allow him, if you're a child of God, you could be deceived by Satan. He can tell you all kinds of things. You can't make it. You'll never make it. God's done with you. You're washed up. You've been a failure too many times. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are going to make it. I want to prophesy to you right now. You who are listening to me, you're going to make it. You are going to come on top of these things. This situation is going to change starting right now. Starting today, it's going to change and go for the better. Hallelujah. You are not going to be the same after this time. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. And you better believe it. Praise God. Jesus said, he's the creator of all lies. Let's go over here, John 8:44. This is the devil, and he's lying to people that they're cursed. They're not going to make it. They're going to be sick. They're going to die sick. They're going to die broke. They're going to die lonely. They're going to die with failure. They're going to lose everything. Well, we're not going to take anything to heaven, but you don't have to die broke. And you can leave things for your children. You know, leave them, there's a song, Sly and the Family Stone, they sang a song years ago. I used to like it. I think it's a good tune. You know, Papa was a rolling stone. Yay, when he left, he left us alone. When he left us alone. You know, that means you have to pay his loan when he left. Well, there's a kind of a double meaning in there. He left us alone, you know. But, you know, Papa was no rolling stone. God left us a blessing, praise God. Amen? So, did you know the devil, he'll do whatever he's able to deceive you into believing. Here's John 8:44 says, for you are a children of the father, the devil. Jesus is talking to the religious people. They're the Jewish people. They're against Jesus, and they're against what his cause was for. He says, for you are a children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things. He does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. This is John 8:44, the New Living. I read it in the New Living because I wanted to. I found it was clearer there. So he'll do whatever he's able to get you to believe. He'll assault you. You know, the devil, the word devil itself, that's not his real name, the devil. The devil is what he does. Satan is his name. The devil is what he does. So the word devil means that he's an assaulter. He keeps assaulting you with words. He keeps assaulting your mind. Again, he buffets you, he hits you, he keeps hitting you. You can see that in the scriptures. He hits your mind with words, and you don't even know it's the devil if you didn't know it was the devil that's talking to you. You think it's yourself. You think, oh, I got bad self-esteem. No, it's the devil coming at you. Listen to this. So, if you let him get away with it, he will exercise his unjust power over you unless you know better and you take your authority, you take your place. He'll try to put the curse on you. He's also called the accuser of God's people. He'll send the accusations against you. If you listen to him, he'll have you convinced. Revelation 12:10 says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before God day and night. The devil will come to you accusing you day and night, telling you, oh, you can't make it. Oh, you're cursed. You'll never make it. You've been sick for 40 years. You'll die sick. You were born that way. You'll never change. You'll always be that way. You'll always have addiction problems. Everyone in your family has addiction problems. You're all poor. You'll always be poor. No, you got to stop it right now. Stop it right now. You know how you come? It says here, Revelation 12, 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, okay, and by the word of the testimony. You overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus. You've been redeemed by the blood, but also you have to say in the name of Jesus by your testimony. You need to say what the word of God says about you. Say, I'm not taking this, devil. I command you to leave. Get your hands off my body. Get your hands off my mind. Get your hands off my home, my children, my stuff, in the name of Jesus. He'll bring guilt on you. He'll bring condemnation on you. He'll bring harassment on you. He'll speak lies to you. He'll torment you. And you know, there's so many people in the church, they've been tormented by the devil because the devil hurls the accusations and assaults them. And he says things like this. He says, what kind of faith person are you? What kind of Christian are you? What kind of faith person are you? You're sick. Look at that. You're sick in your body. You're taking medication. What kind of Christian are you? Wearing crutches. What Christian are you? Wearing glasses. What kind of Christian are you? You don't have any money. You know, he'll make all kinds of accusations and say, you have this symptom. You got that problem. You got this. You got this lack. You got this trial. You got this trouble. He keep hurling it at you until you believe that you're not blessed. But the thing is, the blessings of God are not automatic. They don't just fall on you. You have to do something because you're in a world where the devil is preventing you from getting blessed. You have to access your right. As a child of God, you're not cursed. You're blessed. Praise God. And Jesus said he's a liar. Our job is to fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. According to Hebrews 11, 6. Faith is what pleases God. And it's not about being symptom free. You know, you might have symptoms. You might have this trouble and trial. But by faith, you're going to overcome these areas. Our job is not to fix things. Our job is to fight the good fight of faith. It's not our job to get the symptoms out of us. That's God's job. Our job is to confess what God says about us. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, the first section of that scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. The devil is attacking your faith. He wants to put the curse on you, but we have to stay by faith because we're the blessing of we are the blessed of God, according to the scripture we read, along with faithful Abraham. Glory to God. We have to resist him. As the scripture says, we have to take our right and our authority. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, according to regarding healing, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. This verse is a true statement. It's right now. It's a fact. We have a right to be healthy and a right to be whole. We have access to healing anytime and when we're experiencing symptoms of sickness and pain. But it's not going to come on you automatically. If you have so much unbelief in you, you got to get that out of you. Like some people just want to pile, over them. Get that out of you first. Get all that junk out of you and begin to build the Word of God in you. Just ask God to forgive you of all the stuff you've been saying and all the things you've been thinking about. Say, Lord, forgive me for unbelief. And I'm going to build on this. I'm not cursed. I don't care what happened to my family in the past. I'm not accepting that. That was under the curse. I'm not receiving that. The Bible says, Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 2, 1 and 2, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Our job is to walk after the Spirit. And there'll be no condemnation. Whatever the Spirit says to do, you do. Not, you know, the Word of God will give you His Word, but He gives you Holy Spirit to do certain things. I've heard people say to me, oh, God told me, go help Pastor Roma. And they didn't do it. by the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost talks to you, it's just like God talking to you. So you got to listen to the Lord. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. That's the curse. So the law, we're in the law of the Spirit. So we don't have to be condemned by letting the devil attack us. The Bible says in the Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The word redeem means we have been bought back. We've been bought back with a price. We've been redeemed from what? From the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? It's all pronounced there in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And there, it's enumerated for us from the first 15 verses, 1 to 14 or 15 verses there. It talks about the blessings of God, then right down from the 16th verse right down to many, many other verses, to the 60-something verse, 64th verse, that it talks about in there, that a number of curses are in there. So, but it says in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. You know, we're Gentiles. We have faith in Jesus. So we're in the blessing because we put our faith in Jesus. So we need to access that by faith today. So we need to speak up. I'm going to finish off by saying this, that you and I, anybody who's listening right now, we have to speak up for our rights. Let's go over here again. We looked at the scripture one more time before. Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You know, the God is good. He's a good God. You know, I remember years ago hearing Oral Roberts. He said, God is good. He's a good God. And people say, oh, you know, Oral Roberts shouldn't say that, you know. He shouldn't be saying that. You know, it's crazy. This was in the 80s when I remember him being accused or at least being attacked because he said God is good. So, for his mercy endures only for a short time. No, he said his mercy endures every day. Every single day, his mercy. If you failed again, hey, his mercy is new every day. Praise God. Amen. You failed a moment ago, this morning. Hey, his mercy is new every day. Don't wait till you come to church. Ask God, forgive me right away and move on. And act like it's so. Act like you're forgiven. Act like you're forgiven and God's mercy is on you every day. The Bible says, mercy follows me all the days of my life, the psalmist says. He follows me. Mercy follows me all the days of my life. Verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are you going to say? He has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. You're going to have to say, I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I've been bought out from the enemy. You know, that's why I like, you know, Colossians chapter 1 over there, verses 12 and 13, giving thanks unto the Father who has made me to be partakers of the kingdom of light, who has delivered me from the power of darkness and transferred me to the kingdom of his dear Son. I like that scripture. It was so real to me because I like it because it became real to me because I began to understand that I'm not in the devil's kingdom. I've been transferred to the kingdom of light. I've been delivered, not trying to get delivered or a possibility. I'm delivered right now. I'm delivered. I thank God that I'm delivered right now. Praise God. Amen. You got to begin to praise God. We have to say so. We have to speak up. We have to talk like we have rights. We have to talk like we're delivered. We have to talk like we're blessed. That money is coming to us. Finances, our bills are being paid. Thank God for it. Thank God that you're not going to be cursed. Thank God you're not going to die sick. If you got any curse working up in your life, you got to speak up. Speak up to the devil. Tell him you have no right to put sickness on you. Tell him you can't take my stuff. You can't take my finances. You can't take my family. You can't take anything from me. You can't take my children from me. If any of your children in captivity say, no, devil, you can't do that. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. Hallelujah. Let me just give you one more example here of how Paul spoke up in the natural. And this is revealed. Paul speaking up for his right in the natural. This is revealed in the spiritual as well. Now watch this. Here we see a riot happening. It broke out and they arrested Paul because he was preaching the gospel and people were against him because he was the leader of this thing. and the leaders opposed him. And so he was brought before a chief captain, and there was a bunch of things going on. Notice this, Acts 22 and 24. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade him that he should be examined by scourging. How would you like to be examined by scourging? That means, you know, they're going to slap you around, beat you up, whip you, and just put a beating on you and ask you questions after. Not before, after, while they're asking you and before you say anything. And so they scourged him. And that's what he said, by scourging. You know, people died when they were scourged. They couldn't say anything after. He that they might know whereof they cried against him. So they want to know what happened here, why, what was going on. They accused him and all that stuff, and so on. So as we know that men died from torture back then, they decided to whip him before they knew what was really happening in the situation. Verse 25, as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Verse 26, and when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou dost, for this man is a Roman. So we see here that Paul spoke up. He said, you can't legally judge me guilty and torture me without having a trial, a fair trial, because I have rights as a Roman citizen. Rome was the greatest empire in that day, and people who were Roman citizens had rights to the max. If you were a Roman citizen, you had all kinds of rights. You couldn't be condemned. You couldn't be improperly seized and tortured and so on. Paul was a Roman citizen. So as a citizen of heaven, of God's child, you and I have legal rights. And so we have to speak up. And if you don't, the mob is going to get you, according to what the Bible says here. You have to know that you're a free person. You're going to have to know your rights. You're going to have to know, you're going to have to speak up to the devil and say, no, devil, you're not going to exercise your illegalities over me. I have a legal authority and legal right to take my right as a citizen of heaven, and you will not steal, kill, and destroy in my home and my house. Take your hands off me right now and leave in Jesus' name. Verse 26 again. The chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was born free. Verse 29, and straightway they departed from him, and they just should have examined him. And the chief captain was also afraid, and he knew that he was a Roman. And because of it, they had bound him. The devil is afraid of the children of God. When you know your rights, the Bible says, he'll run from you as in terror, the Bible says. James 4:7. When you know your rights in the name of Jesus, I resist you, devil, and he'll run from you as in terror. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus for everyone's sound of my voice. They are going to speak up for their rights. They're going to say, I'm a citizen of heaven. God is my very own father. I'm his very own child. I'm a child of Abraham. I'm a child of faith. I speak up for my rights. I'm taking my rights right now. I'm not allowing him, the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy my home. In the name of Jesus, Father, I say I'm free. I say I am rich. I have all the blessings of God. I say in the name of Jesus that I got great days ahead. I'm going to live a long, healthy life without sickness or disease. I want to thank you to have peace in my house. I want to thank you to have protection from every disease and any sickness and anything the devil would throw my way. I want to thank you in the name of Jesus right now that I am thoroughly blessed, spirit, soul, and body. Sickness cannot come in my home. Disease cannot enter here. Pain cannot come in my body. My mind is free. My mind is clear. Have a strong disposition. Have a strong mind. Have a healthy mind. Blessings are coming my way right now. From every direction, blessings are coming. Wherever I go, not only the blessings are coming, but I'm a blesser. I bless people as they go along the way. and blessings follow me wherever I go. Wherever I go, I leave blessings. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.